You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
Back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM, 750 AM, getting set for week three of the college football season, and the Utah Utes will return to KOAL this Saturday. Late kickoff, 8:30 start time, as the Utes take on San Jose State. Bill Riley, Frank Dolce will bring you the live play-by-play call. And then, of course, we have some high school football action tomorrow night with Garvin and Emory beginning at 6. So a lot of football action coming up here on KOAL, and we're going to get you set for week three of the college football season right now. Joining us over the phone, great friend of the show. He's from the Palm Beach Post in South Florida. He also works for Athlon Sports. We have Antoine Staley with us. Antoine, great to get you back on the show today. Thank you.
Good to be back with you.
Yeah, I'm glad to get you on. Again, your college football mind, it's a true asset to the show. Let's dive right into it, and we'll talk about not so much week two. We talked a lot about that earlier in the week with Utah and BYU. Of course, that was the big talk here in the state. Outside of that, though, Antoine, there wasn't a whole lot of meaningful games as far as the playoff picture goes. Week one was one of the best college football kickoff weekends I can remember. Because of that, week two kind of took a backseat to the NFL.
Yeah, it definitely did. It was still some really good games. You look at, and we had some close games, some games we didn't think were going to be close to Clemson. Clemson game, a little bit close to the call. And you look at Georgia and Lamar. I mean, that game, I thought the Bulldogs had a chance to lose that one. They started a true freshman in Jacob Eason, who a high draft prospect coming out, and they just kind of want to get them some playing time, especially considering the opponent, but they almost dropped that game as well. And you look at the TCU Arkansas, that's probably the better game of the weekend. That game, when it first Arkansas was ended up winning, and TCU ended up coming back, and then the game went in the overtime, and just a crazy, crazy finish, especially with the 2-point conversion. So I thought it was that game right there in particular was the better game of the weekend.
I do want to get your perspective on the Central Michigan and Oklahoma State game and how it comes to a close. I mean, obviously, the referee screwed that up. There should not have been an untimed down for Central Michigan. They give them another down. We have the Hail Mary lateral. It results in an Oklahoma State loss. The NCAA says there's nothing we can do about it. It's over with. The officials left the field. That's it. It's a final score. Is that something that you believe the NCAA should look at and maybe revise? Or do you agree with the current rule? Because my understanding, look, the way I look at it, Antoine, is the game's over. Human error is part of the game. Yes, it's really unfortunate for Oklahoma State. Yet at the end of the day, you should not be allowed to go back and change the ruling. That's been kind of a hot topic this week.
Yeah, I agree with that. The referees messed up, and it was obviously because they got suspended two games. So they suspended not only the referees, but they suspended the replay crew as well for two games. So they know they messed up. I agree with you. I don't think you can go back. Once the game is over and complete, you can't go back in a few days later and say, oh, well, we're going to change this, because it changes the timeline of things. We don't know necessarily what might have happened depending on, like, if you mess around with the timeline. So I have agree that you cannot overrule that or change it or forfeit or whatever you want to do. Like, you just cannot change that ruling that your game was over. So as bad as I feel for Oklahoma State fans, it's just one of those things that it happens to just about every team on some level. Every team has gotten screwed in college football by a call, by a missed call, or you know, some untimed down, or whatever the case may be. It kind of happens to every program eventually. But it's just one of those things that is unfortunate. And Oklahoma State, you know, from here on out, they got a good game coming up right this week as well. They're going to have to just suck it up and just kind of move on. And, you know, hopefully they can, for their sake, they still can compete and win that Big 12 conference.
Oklahoma State fans don't want to hear this, but look, a very simple solution is don't lose to Central Michigan. Don't put yourself in that position, right? I mean, that's the simple solution
exactly. Here. Yeah, yeah, and look, Central Michigan's been in the first two games have been really came down to the wire. Look at their game against Northwestern. That was a very close game as well, and could have went either way. And not only did they beat Oklahoma State in week two, they beat Northwestern, another Power 5 team. And it looks like Central Michigan may be a team to be reckoned with.
Well, let's move away from week two, Antoine, and we'll talk about week three. There's a couple of very big games on the slate that definitely has playoff implications. I'm going to start at the bottom. We get number 12, Michigan State, going up against number 18, Notre Dame. It's simple here. The loser of this game has no chance, in my mind, of getting into the postseason. I think we can agree on that, right? If Notre Dame loses, they're eliminated. They have no chance. I think they have a very slim chance, as it is at this particular time. And if Michigan State suffers a loss, even though it's this early, being number 12, if you lose to the number 18 team in the country, odds are they're out of the playoff picture. At least that's my take on this game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, even though Michigan State would have opportunities to get back in it. Of course, they play Michigan and Ohio State, so they have a chance to get back in it. But for Notre Dame, definitely, they're definitely out of it. They already lost to Texas, which some people may say it may knock them out anyway. But definitely, with this win, if they happen to beat Michigan State, which I think they will, I definitely think they have a shot to try to at least climb back in it. Because we've seen from evidence in the past, you've had one loss teams get into the playoff and have success and even win national championships. So if Notre Dame, they have a tough enough schedule to get it back in it. They play a number of good teams coming up. So I definitely think they have to win this game, to be honest with you. And I think they will. It's at home. It's at 7:30. I think the Notre Dame offense, with Kaiser, finally the guy at quarterback, set in that offense, and he runs the ship very well, and I have a hard time believing, especially with Michigan State and the players that they lost in the draft, they're going to be able to keep up with them offensively, even defensively as well, even as good as Mark D'Antoni's defense tends to be for that program. So I like Notre Dame to win, probably about 10 points or so.
Notre Dame right now an 8-point favorite as it stands right now. Ohio State will take on Oklahoma. Oklahoma's in a similar situation as Notre Dame. You lose to Houston to start things off, and now if you lose a game like this, you're pretty much finished, regardless if you win the Big 12 or not. Ohio State is a perfect opportunity for Oklahoma and Baker Mayfield to get right back into things. You have Bob Stoops, who, in my mind, he hasn't won a big game in a very long time, Antoine. This is a perfect opportunity for Oklahoma. They have Ohio State coming to their home. This should be a fun one, I think, on Saturday.
I agree. And Bob Stoops, you know, his nickname is Big Game Bob, but he hasn't really won any big games in a couple of years or so. So this is a perfect opportunity to try to reclaim that nickname. And Norman has been very kind to the Sooners, especially when he's been there. They've rarely ever lost there, even with tough opponents. So, but this is one of the tougher opponents they're going to play. They played in a while, especially JT Barrett and Ohio State. I'm expecting a really good game. This should be definitely one of the better games of the day. Obviously, you look at the rankings, and it's really going to come down to defense. Oklahoma, you looked at them against Houston. The defenders were out of position against a Houston team that doesn't have the talent or the depth that Oklahoma has. And we're talking about they're playing an Ohio State team that has an abundance of talent. They're young. They lost a ton of players to the NFL draft. They ended up having five players drafted in the first round. But as Urban Meyer tends to do, he doesn't rebuild. He reloads. And JT Barrett, and they have a lot of young guys. That are very talented. They're not really proven, but they have a lot of talent. So I like Oklahoma in the game. It wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State won, but this is kind of one of those games that could really go either way.
And then one of the bigger games as well, we get Alabama against Ole Miss. Alabama right now a 10-point favorite. They got to travel on the road to take on Ole Miss. Odds makers are not really expecting the Rebels to have the same sort of success that they had last year against Alabama. But, you know, as I was just talking about, I mean, history states that Ole Miss can potentially be a matchup problem for Alabama. Any reason to worry if you're Nick Saban's crew?
Yeah, you lost two straight times to Ole Miss, so you should be worried. Chad Kelly had a really great game against them last year. Of course, Laquan Treadwell was there, and Laramie Tunsil, who both are in the NFL right now. But you still have Chad Kelly, who can definitely is a problem for the Crimson Tide defense. So I they should be worried. This game, I'm surprised the line is what it is, maybe because of the way Ole Miss played against Florida State. But I'm really expecting a really close game, and Ole Miss can definitely beat Alabama. We've seen it in the past. We see it the past couple of years. They have what it takes to beat play some of the tougher teams. They could have won the Florida State game. They just wasn't able to hold on and, you know, pivot to withstand Florida State's run. And you can play with Florida State. You can really play with anybody in the country because Florida State has some of the best athletes there. So it would not surprise me if Ole Miss were to do it again. I know Alabama is definitely an improved team. They seem like they finally have a quarterback, something that's really played this team. They really hadn't needed one because they had really great defenses in the running game, but they feel like they have a guy that's a legit quarterback in the SEC. So that could be the difference in this game.
Yeah, one of the things that really scares me for Ole Miss in this contest, and it's going back to that Florida State game, they don't really have a legitimate rushing attack. And on top of that, I thought the depth on defense was really a weakness, and Florida State managed to expose that in the second half. And that's why I think in the grand scheme of things, once we get into the fourth quarter, I think you see Alabama kind of wear Ole Miss down. It may be close for two or three quarters. I just don't know if they have the depth to hang with Alabama.
Yeah, they have a really good front line, and we saw that they were able to get pressure on Francois throughout the course of that game. But the secondary is definitely – the back end, the linebackers and secondary are really a big question for them. And, you look at what they have – Alabama has, especially Ridley there at wide receiver. It's going to be tough to stay with that guy. No matter who you are, what team you are, it's tough to stay with a guy like Calvin Ridley. And I don't know if Ole Miss is going to have – they have enough players on the secondary that's able to do that.
Let's talk about the first meeting this year between two top 10 teams. This one's somewhat down in the neck of your woods. I mean, you're in South Florida. So we have Florida State. They will be on the road against Louisville. Florida State right now a 2.5-point favorite. Louisville right now number 10 in the country. Ah, man, I love the fact that you have Lamar Jackson and DeAndre Francois going at it. The two right here are two legitimate Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, and I know it's early on in the season, but both have an opportunity to stamp their name and really legitimately catapult some of the other candidates for the Heisman. I love this matchup on Saturday. I can't wait for it.
I agree. Two young quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson has just been phenomenal. He's putting up video game numbers, and I know it was against Charlotte and Syracuse, who not really a good team. I do like Dino Babbles there in Syracuse. I think he's going to do a fine job eventually just once he gets his players in there. But Syracuse can't compete on the same level as Louisville. They don't have the talent or the depth right now. But you play whoever's on the schedule, and they've just been outclassing the competition. And Lamar Jackson, he's done whatever he wants to. He leaps over defenders. He throws the ball deep for long 70-yard touchdowns. He can run the ball. He's just a complete player, and Florida State's going to definitely have their hands full on Saturday. The key there is Florida State has a great defender. They have really two defenders on the line, and Walker and Christmas, who, if you're looking at them, they're going to definitely need to get pressure on Lamar Jackson. If they're not able to do that, I think Florida State could be in line for a big day. Last time these two played, it was a really good game, and Florida State was really down at halftime 2 years ago, and before Jameis Winston and that crew came back. So I'm expecting another great game. It should be a classic. My only thing is, why is this game on at noon?
I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. This thing should definitely be prime time. I don't know. Maybe to stay away from Notre Dame, Michigan State, which is going to be on NBC. I don't know. I don't know why this game's not prime time. I really don't.
Or Oklahoma, Ohio State. But still, you would think ABC would like to have a marquee game of their own, but I have no idea why this game is on so early. It'll be 10 o'clock for you, but
right,
it'll be high noon. Like that's just way too early for a game of this magnitude.
Antoine Staley, before I let you go, one matchup that I think you fans should definitely be aware of this weekend. UCLA is coming to Provo to take on BYU. This right here, it's one of those games where you're going to have common opponents. Of course, UCLA sharing the Pac-12 South with Utah. We know that BYU is very one-dimensional offensively. That was obvious on this game this past Saturday against Utah, but they get UCLA. Ute fans should definitely be aware of this game.
Oh, definitely, because obviously UCLA is a team. Despite the loss to Texas A&M, a lot of people think they could win the Pac-12 South, and I still believe they can. And you kind of want to see how they match up with a BYU, this team that Utah has just beaten. So you kind of want to see how you match up there. Not to say that the way UCLA played against BYU will be the same way they play against Utah, but you kind of want to just see matchups and just how the Bruins will play. But I have a hard time believing the Bruins, with the talent they have, will lose a game like this, especially considering the Utes had their way pretty much with the Cougars on Saturday.
Antoine, before I let you go, I want you to go ahead and take some time to tell the listeners where they can find more Antoine Staley. I know you're a very busy guy. You cover the Miami Dolphins, the Miami Hurricanes, and again, you are down south. So let everybody know how they can find more of what you do.
Well, you can find me on Twitter, Antoine Staley. Also find my work at Athlon Sports. also at the Palm Beach Post as well. Like I said, I do Dolphin stuff, Miami Hurricanes. Hockey season is about to come up, so we're going to do Florida Panthers coverage as well. So I'm pretty much everywhere, in all sports.
Antoine, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Next week, we'll do it again.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I look forward to it.
Should definitely be a fun week three of the college football season, to say the least. We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports when we return.